Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
So when I was thinking about what I wanted to share, just kind of praying, you know, God, what would you want me to share today? And he brought a message that I shared several weeks ago back. And so it's about hope. And in this lesson today, we're going to ask four questions about hope. You know, hope's a word we hear about all the time, both in society as well as in the church. So the first question we're going to ask is, you know, what is hope? According to the Merriam-Webster, they give us two definitions, and they're both very similar. The first is to cherish a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. And the second is like it, desire accompanied by expectation of or belief in. You know, so hope's desiring something. So ever since I was a little kid, I've always loved fishing. Me and my dad would go often. I mean, when I was in middle school, I was fish crazy. We'd go like, I mean, 2-3 times a week. And I feel like there's a lot of hope in fishing. Before you go, you have the hope that, well, hopefully I'll catch a bunch of fish. And then when you get there, you have a hope in every cast. The next cast might be the one. And a few years ago when I was in high school, a pastor asked me if I would help with the kids' summer camp. And he was like, do you happen to like fishing, Levi? I was like, oh yeah, I love fishing. He's like, well, I'm going to put you as a fishing director. I was like, okay. He said, we got this pond. He said, it's full of bluegill. All you'll be doing is basically putting worms on and you'll be using the pliers. They'll be catching so many fish, you know, you'll just be taking them off for the kids. Well, that wasn't the case. I was a little skeptical at first anyway when he told me that, because it was about 90 degrees that week. And as most of y'all know, fish don't bite when it's 90 typically. We ended up having a very hard time. The first day we get out there and hadn't caught a fish in the first 2.5 hours. So you had people sitting over on the side, just eating and talking. And one kid told me, he said, Levi, there's not a fish in this pond. I said, I've never fished here before, so I can't say for sure there is. I do think there is. And finally, I caught one. And one of the kids grabbed his pole. He's like, you gave us hope. And they started back fishing. But I think this is, you know, a simple example, but, you know, an example of hope. And this is a really sad statistic. Over 40% of Americans say they feel hopeless, you know, at least some of the time. And this is according to a survey done by Lifeway Research. And this isn't that they feel like very little hope. This is at some point they feel like there's absolutely no hope in their life. And, you know, to me, when I think about that, like, you're talking almost 1 out of every 2 people you see at the grocery store feel hopeless at least some point during their life. And it's important for us to realize that the places we put hope in affects all aspects of our life. You know, our emotions, our attitude, our mindset, the way we make decisions, the way we interact with others, our ability to think clearly, you know, mentally, our perspective, and also just the way we go about daily life. So depending on the translation you use, the word hope can be found in the Bible more than 160 times. So there's 2 kinds of hope, and this is what we're going to dive into. The first is human hope, and the second is biblical hope. You know, we put hope in so many different things in the world today. And a lot of times, the stuff we put hope in, we're trying to either alleviate, you know, anxiety and stress in our lives, or trying to do it for, you know, people we care about. We try to make our lives easier, make our lives more comfortable. And so when we look at human hope, this is hope that's placed in people, places, or things. Most of the time, this is a want, wish, desire, you know, of some form or fashion. And most of the time, this isn't something that we're confident that's actually going to happen. It's something, well, I wish this, I hope that, you know. And so here at the bottom of the slide, I've put some examples that I can relate to, that I've said, I've heard. Maybe you can relate to some of these as well. You know, I hope it does not rain today. As most of you all know, I love warm weather. I love sunny days. I hope I don't get sick anytime soon. I hope I get a good grade on the test this week. I hope I can sleep well tonight. I hope that person actually shows up on time tomorrow. I hope that everything goes smoothly at work this week. So like we use the word hope a lot. And you know, when I was thinking about this, when I was preparing it a month or so ago, I realized like I use the word hope way more than I even realized before that. So coming to our second question, how often do we wish, worry, and hope for things, but never once talk to God about it? You know, God already knows before we ask him, but he still wants us to come to him during the good times, but also during the trials in our life. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7 tells us, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So this diagram, we're going to go around it, looking at some of the places people look for hope. You know, popularity, power, money, education, relationships, health, the government, family or friends, hobbies, military, celebrities. So maybe you can relate to one or two of those, maybe several of them. And not that any of these are bad on their own. But it, you know, they shouldn't be the place we put our hope in first. And so on that note, changing gears, we're going to talk about biblical hope. And we'll start with the definition. This is by Baker's Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology. This is definition of biblical hope. To trust in, wait for, look for, or desire something or someone, to expect something beneficial in the future. And you can see the words that have been changed color is, you know, to trust in and then to expect something beneficial in the future. This is different from the regular definition of hope. Because regular definition of hope, it's not something we trust in and it's not something that we actually expect to come to pass. That, those are the two biggest differences in biblical hope compared to human hope. And I like what John Piper says. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. So the third question, why do we look for and need hope? And the first thing is, you know, we live in a sinful and fallen world. You know, we see bad things around us all the time. You know, you don't have to look far in the news to, you know, see something that's discouraging, frustrating. And it can be easy to ask, like, why is all this happening? You know, we look at, you know, fear, disappointment, we'll experience sadness, anxiety, frustration. You know, as people, we like to know what's next. You know, we want to know the future. And we realize that we're not in control. You know, as much as we want to be in control of our life or of the world, that, you know, we're not. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. That's one of my favorite verses. So if we really think about it, all but one thing we can put our hope and trust in can be taken away at any given time. And that's the hope and assurance we have in Jesus Christ. It can never be taken away. You think about anything else in life can be taken away. You know, anything else in life has a beginning and has an end. So Jesus, speaking in John chapter 10, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We think anything else we put our hope and trust in will fail us at some point or another. Whether this be a thing, whether this be people. You know, I think about hobbies. You know, we can enjoy them for a short while, but then, you know, they can make you, you know, feel empty. Money, you know, something, the more of it you want, you know, you're still never satisfied with it. Health, you know, sickness, injury, diseases will, you know, cause us pain. So I really like this chart. So the blue line is God's hope, and the orange line is man's hope. And when you look at it, yes, in man's hope, there is some upside. That's during the times where things are going good in life, you know, feel like, I got this. You know, everything's falling into place. But then you see many down paths as well. But then you look up at the top and you see the blue line, and that's God's hope. And you see how much higher it is than any point of man's hope. You know, anything that we can get from any of the things listed on that circle from man's hope. So Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So that brings me to the fourth question. Have you ever had hope in something, and rather than it bringing you joy and happiness, it caused you to be disappointed and sad? So going along with that question, we're going to talk about having hope in the struggles of life. You know, each and every one of us has had struggles in life, if we reflect back. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, this is Jeremiah writing a letter to the people of Israel who's been taken exile into Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. So he's writing to people who have to be discouraged, in pain, having a very hard time. So he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So we hear a lot in talks about that God is all-powerful, which is absolutely true. I feel like a lot of times we try to ignore or not think about the fact that Satan has some power currently as well. Not near as much power as God has, but that he does have power currently. Now, that won't always be the case. But, you know, a few reasons why I think, you know, it's something we don't talk about or think about much is that, number one, it's not a comforting thought, you know, to think Satan has power. But I think it's important for us to be aware, because Satan will try to tempt us with lies, make us be fearful. That's something we have to be on guard with. And, you know, a lot of times Satan tries to attack us the hardest when we're down. Sometimes it's during trials that we realize our need for God the most. We realize we can't do it on our own. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 tells us, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." I like what Matthew McConaughey says. "The devil wouldn't be attacking you so hard if there wasn't something valuable in you. Thieves don't break into empty houses." So I feel like, you know, us as humans, a lot of times we think we know exactly how much we can take or bear. You know, we might think to ourselves, "Well, I know exactly how I would react in this circumstance or in that circumstance." But the truth is, God knows each one of us better than we even know ourselves. So when you look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." So we look at the hope we have in God. You know, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for each one of us so we could have eternal life with him. You know, for a Christian, you know, we're a child of his. We're a son or a daughter of Christ. It's a comforting thought to know that he's always with us, no matter the time, no matter the place, the situation, God's always there. And that nothing happens in the world or in our life, in our family, that's a surprise to God. You know, he's in control of it all. And that the happy thought that we'll spend eternity with Christ and when he returns. And then also his attributes, which I will show on the next slide. And to me, as I look around this circle, like, it's just amazing, like, what a great God we serve. He's loving, merciful, all-powerful, faithful, just, compassionate, holy, sovereign. immutable. You know, he never changes, as Hebrews tells us, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternal. And, you know, as I close, I want to encourage each one of us to, you know, have our hope anchored in the firm foundation God provides us, not, you know, the hope that this world tries to tell us that we need. You know, because the world will tell us, you need this, or you need that. And if you just had that, then you would be happy. Or if you just had that, then your life would actually be good. But I'll close in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I pray for all of our staff that's out at National Convention. I pray that they would have a great week, and all those who are attending, that it'd be a blessed time of fellowship and learning, that you would be honored in all of it. I thank you for CMDA, and I pray that you would continue to bless it this year and in the coming years. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.